This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, get ready for some more draft talk. Keith, you ready for it?
I'm always ready for draft talk. I love the draft. Big draft fan.
Me too.
NFL draft, NBA draft, draft beers. I love all of it. Love a good draft. Our draft countdown is gone.
Yeah.
I don't know why. We got to reboot that. But we are now inside of a month from the NFL draft.
Well, how do you even know?
Well, it's April 24th, isn't it?
Yeah, but without
today's March 25th.
Without the countdown, though.
I don't know the exact hours and minutes and seconds, which is unfortunate, but I do know we are now less than a month away from the 2025 NFL draft.
Very, very exciting.
In Lambeau.
Yeah.
It's in Green Bay this year.
Yeah.
Weird.
The frozen tundra.
Frozen tundra.
I don't know how frozen it is.
It'll be cold.
Yeah, probably.
It'll be cold. April?
Probably not warm.
No, I don't think so.
I wouldn't ice fish, but, you know, it's probably a frozen tundra still. Yeah.
Wear a hat.
Yeah.
Or like a winter hat.
Yeah, dress.
Bring a glove.
Dress for the season is what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into some draft talk here today on a very busy Tuesday on Jones and Keith. It's Tier Tuesday with MLB opening day on Thursday. Well, the Red Sox opening day.
We've already seen
on
two
Thursday.
Games.
Yeah.
We all got up early and watched the Dodgers and the Cubs. But yeah, the real opening day.
99% of baseball opens on Thursday. So we'll tier off some MLB teams. Where do the Red Sox fit in? You'll find out at 11:30. It's a Tom E. Tuesday. Tom E. Curran, who I guess believes the Patriots are big spenders. I'm going to have to hear some answers out of this.
I'm interested to hear his take as to why.
Well, we will.
Okay.
At 12:30 today.
Right.
He needs a little extra time to defend his
to
argument.
Cook it up?
Yeah.
That's fine.
He needed to move back from high noon to 12:30. He needs a little extra time to get in the lab there. And, of course, Kiefer Madness at 12:45. Busy, busy day out there. But you heard Daniel Jeremiah off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of wonder where fans are at. Because I've mentioned Ashton Gentry's name before, running back out of Boise State. As a side note, whether you care or not, this is deemed a good running back draft. Amarian Hampton, who Curran, consequentially, is also pretty high on. But Amarian Hampton, you see high in a lot of these mock drafts. He played at North Carolina with Drake May. It's a good running back draft. So I don't know if that informs your opinion one way or the other. But I brought up Ashton Gentry, who feels like a generational type of prospect in the draft. You don't often see running backs that can go even in the top 10, never mind the top 5. Daniel Jeremiah, when painted with the question, or presented with the question, rather, of no Abdul Carter, no Travis Hunter. There's no blue chip players available for the Patriots at 4.
Hmm.
They're not going to draft a quarterback. They already took Drake May a year ago. Plus, they got Joe Milton.
Hmm.
So, what do you do? And Daniel Jeremiah says, well, I take the best player available with the caveat of best player available that helps Drake May. So, how do you feel about drafting a running back that highly? How do you feel about a running back helping a young quarterback? These are things I want to get into today. So what do you think of Gentry at 4 in Jeremiah's opinion there?
It feels really high to me. It feels high, and I am pro running back. Like, I do think they get kind of just, like, lumped together, and you're like, whatever. And I think if you have a really good offense, there is something to be said about an NFL-caliber running back should be able to have some success with your team. But you saw what a guy like Saquon Barkley can do in that spot, right? They had other running backs like Miles Sanders and other guys in years past, what DeAndre Swift, and then Saquon Barkley kind of takes you to another level. So I do value the running back. I was shocked a couple years ago when the Detroit Lions drafted Jahmyr Gibbs as high as they did, and that looks like a great pick. And he doesn't even play every down. You know, not many running backs do. And yet what an impact he has had on that offense. So if you said the Patriots walked away with Ashton Gentry in the first round, I would be happy with it. It just feels like 4 feels high, especially when you have so much uncertainty on your offensive line still. And then this would get into, like, the real draft experts as to how many guys do you feel like could start day one at left tackle? And if there's one of those guys on the board, I think you still need to take that guy. Now, if there isn't, and you're like, well, Will Campbell maybe, or we have this other guy who we like at right tackle. Like, if you start having to get into the weeds with all that stuff, then somebody like Genty becomes way more appealing to me.
So, you know, Mike Tannenbaum today, whatever you think of his mock drafts, he put out a mock draft today. He has the Patriots taking Membu, the right tackle out of Missouri, at 4.
How confident are we he can switch
And it's
sides?
Like, okay, so, okay, drafting a running back in the top 5 is bad business. I can get behind that. Although, maybe you get yourself in Ezekiel Elliott, who I think was worth it for Dallas when they drafted him there. Maybe you get yourself
Saquon, was a top
Saquon
five, yeah.
who obviously is an elite type of player, although he didn't win with the Giants. But you could also have Trent Richardson.
Yeah.
You could also have Leonard Fournette, exactly.
He's a mixed bag.
I think since 2010, those are all the top 5 running backs, I believe.
Yeah.
So if you want to tell me that's bad business, all right, there's definitely an argument to be made for it. Is drafting a right tackle at 4 overall good business? So is that what you're telling me?
Trying to convert him to left tackle, and now you might have a roster with 4 right tackles and no left tackles?
Is drafting a guard at 4 good business?
And I'm not drafting a guard.
Which Will Campbell might be. So, like, okay, maybe drafting a running back isn't great business in a vacuum.
Yeah.
But what if the alternative is moving a right tackle to left tackle? Or drafting a left tackle who may not fit there and may have to move to guard?
This is where it's like, I think I should trade down and look around for extra picks. Right, so if you go from 4 to 8, then maybe Genty and or Will Campbell's off the board, or maybe one of them's still there, and you still get a guy that you like on top of extra picks. Because just using your biggest asset on either a right tackle that you're going to convert or a running back as good as he could be, when, you're right, Stevenson and Gibson aren't the greatest thing in the world, but they're not the worst thing in the world either.
No,
this isn't your wide receiver room. This isn't your left tackle room.
We said this yesterday. You could line up and play. You know, like at running back, you don't have the best running back room in the league by any means, but you can line up and play.
It feels like a luxury pick a little bit. And also, I guess you'd have to go to Vrabel and Cowden, and to a lesser extent, Elliott Wolf, and say, all right, what does your actual big board of prospects look like? Forget about needs. Who do you think is the best player? Who do you project to be the best NFL player that's still available at 4? And if they come up with Genty, then I guess, like, all right, you said you're drafting best player, then you know, put your money where your mouth is and draft the best player.
So I want to put that to the side for a minute because I think there's a good debate to be had with how much a running back helps a young quarterback. Okay, and that was one of Jeremiah's points. So we can get to it at 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. It's also your text line. A lot of response already. You can jump in on whether or not it's worth taking a running back at 4 in general and then specifically in this draft. If Hunter and Abdul Carter are off the board, I'm taking Ashton Genty.
What's more important, the running back or the receiver for a young quarterback?
The receiver.
So do I. Yeah, I mean, obviously,
but
right?
Is there a receiver worth taking it for?
No, probably not. But I'm saying as far as like putting your resources into that and like trying to help out your quarterback, like the Bills back in the day, do you think Josh Allen would have rather had Saquon Barkley or Steph Diggs? Like, I think he probably would have been better off with Steph Diggs. Now, maybe that is not a possibility. Maybe there is nobody out there for you to trade for. I'm not saying the number 4 overall pick, but even your second round pick, maybe there isn't that capability. But then there's also the, all right, you need to protect him, right? We scream about it every weekend. Like, you do need to protect the quarterback.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't feel like there's a perfect prospect there either. There's no Orlando Pace sitting there.
I agree. I'd rather have a wide receiver than a running back. Am I taking T-Mac, Tet McMillan, over Ashton Genty? I would not.
No.
I'm not taking him at 4. They need a left tackle more than a running back. Agreed.
Okay.
Am I taking Will Campbell at 4 over Ashton Genty? I am not. He might not be a tackle. Am I moving Membu from right tackle to left tackle and taking him at 4? I'm not doing that. So it's almost by process of elimination, I'm trying to get the best player there, and I think Genty is that. So the other problem the Patriots have, because I think a lot of people would say what you just said, Keith, well, then trade back, see if you can get a guy more like at 7 or 8 as opposed to 4. Chad Kraft?
Kraft, yep.
He wrote today at the end. The guy is a good source.
He's pretty tied in.
I don't pretend to know who it is, but the guy is plugged in over there.
And
we've heard this before as well, that the Patriots have trouble finding a partner to trade back because everybody knows it's a bad draft. They all want to wait for players to drop to them because they don't want to move up and take a flawed player at 4. No one wants to do that. So it's hard for the Patriots to trade down. He wrote, not that it's a surprise, but it's going to be difficult for the Patriots to trade back out of the number 4 spot. He goes on to detail that the best hope is that the Jets want to move up for a quarterback. But now the Patriots and the Jets are making a move, so let's play out this scenario. I want people to answer this question at 617-779-7937. Carter and Hunter are gone.
No.
No one.
Reset. Start over.
No one wants to move up to 4 and give you what you deem is worthwhile to move down. So now you're stuck at 4. Who are you taking? My answer, and I would agree with Daniel Jeremiah on this, is Ashton Genty. What's the plan? If you're boxed in and you've missed out on the two blue chip guys. So no, what's the plan at four?
No trade. Missed the two studs. I like Genty, but I'm going to go back to my original best Haas available, and I'll let those guys figure it out. If they who's the best left tackle between Membu, who's a right tackle, and Campbell, who you think is a guard. So let those guys, let the football guys figure that out.
But what is your personal answer?
I would probably go Will Campbell. Okay. I would go Will Campbell out of the two. I think he can play. I know he's got shorter arms, but I think he can do it. Was it Matt Light that had shorter arms?
Yep.
That one of their guys that was pretty successful had shorter arms. So I would go with that. Played in obviously a very competitive conference, and many view as the best overall offensive lineman in the draft. I would kind of have to be like, it's a little high for this player too, but in this scenario where you're forced to take somebody, I'll beef up the offensive line, hope that you have a starter there, and then, you know, figure out the rest of the draft
so,
after.
So, look, I mean, I would say I'm hoping I can get a tackle at 38, or maybe I can move up slightly from 38 in the late first round to get a tackle, but you could say, well, I hope I get Amarian Hampton at the end of the first round.
Although he does seem to be mocked pretty high.
I see him as high as, like, you know, the teens and oftentimes around 20. So maybe you can't get him, but maybe there's other backs that you like in this draft. Maybe you like the two Ohio State kids. You like Judkins, you like Henderson, and maybe you're happy taking those guys at 38 if you're going to take a running back.
It was the mock draft yesterday we talked about, a mock draft Monday. It was a four-round mock. They had the Georgia running back, right? Etienne, going in like the third or fourth round of the path. So, I mean, there are other guys out there. They've said it is a good running back draft. Genty would be the one guy. I would be excited about Genty. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like four with the state of the offensive line, I think would be a tough sell.
So, again, drafting a running back at four, probably not great business. You might get Trent Richardson. At best, you get Saquon Barkley, who didn't help the Giants win, had to leave to win.
Yeah.
So, I agree it's probably not good business. But if the alternative is flawed offensive lineman or overdrafting a receiver, I'm okay. Not only am I okay with it, I would take Ashton Genty.
So I will get my, for the sake of the question, I answered it the way it was given.
Yep.
I do think there is a real chance, whether it's the Jets or somebody else, that in the doomsday scenario that Carter and Hunter are both already drafted, I think some QB horny team is trading
somebody
up
will move up for Shadur.
I think so.
Because it would be Shadur on the clock, right? Yep. We all think Cam Ward's going one. Yep. He had a great pro day yesterday, it sounds like. So we all think it would be Shadur on the clock
at
four.
You think so.
Somebody would move up?
Yeah, I mean, I still think there's going to be multiple quarterbacks taken. I mean, the mock draft yesterday, again, it's not gospel. It was three quarterbacks taken in the top seven, right? I still think there could be two in the top three, but in this scenario that we have this hypothetical, there isn't. I think Sanders and maybe even Jackson Dart aren't that far off. We talked the other week, too, about all the teams that really need a quarterback, the teams that just straight up don't have a quarterback. A lot of them are picking pretty high, so there would be an opportunity for them to not have to sacrifice everything to move up, right? They're not trading from, like, 23 all the way up to 4. They might be moving from 7, or I forget where the Saints
New
are.
Orleans
like,
9.
Yeah, 9. So, like, that's not that far to go up. And conversely, it's also for the Patriots one that you could sell yourself on. You're like, all right, we're not going that far down. We can still get a top 10 pick.
Do you think a young running back helps a young quarterback as much as Jeremiah led on?
No. I think it's more receiver, offensive line, like offensive coordinator. Like, I think it's all those other things more than it is a running back.
We did see teams do it last year. Like, I don't know if you agree Jalen Hurts is still young, but
see, he already made a Super Bowl without Saquon, so I would say no.
He's young-ish.
Yeah.
They went out and got Saquon. The Texans went out and got Joe Mixon for C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm. And he got worse.
The Packers went out and got Josh Jacobs for Jordan Love.
It got worse.
Okay, but like this was the idea of these guys going out and getting players to help these young quarterbacks.
C.J. Stroud also, they got Steph Diggs. Like they also prioritized wide receiver too. And I think the better examples are when Tua got his stud receivers and when Josh Allen got a stud receiver and when Jalen Hurts got two receivers before he got a running back.
Okay, but if you're asking me to do that, well, sure. All those receivers are gone.
No, but Jeremy, you're asking me if it's important. I'm like, of course, you want great players at every position. You want to be like Brock Purdy and have all pros everywhere. But on the list of things to have, it's still toward, for a young quarterback, it's towards the bottom.
So, yeah, I guess I don't disagree with that. I would like to, in the options that they have, how many are realistic? Wide receivers, I think, are gone unless you're hanging on to the Ayuk dream or whatever. I think the stud receivers are gone. Mm. So how do you help your young quarterback?
Is Jakobi Meyers a stud?
No.
Can I interest you in a Jakobi Meyers 2.0?
No. I mean, I take Jakobi Meyers on this team. But, yeah, I wonder how much a young quarterback would be helped by a running back. I mean, if Genty's ripping off 5, 10, 15-yard chunks at a time, breaking some big plays, if he's helping in the passing game, well, then sure. But I just want, again, I want a safe pick that isn't going to have to move positions by the time week one rolls around and you get to the end of training camp.
He might suck. Daniel Jones probably does suck. He had Saquon Barkley and nothing else. Mm-hmm. It sucked. Like, there wasn't really much he could do. So, again, sometimes it's tough with quarterbacks to know whether or not it was just surroundings or if it's them themselves. Another good question on the text line, how high would you draft Ty Warren, tight end, the best tight end in the draft?
I like Tyler Warren. I guess I would take him right after Jenty.
Yeah.
So I like him, but I don't see a scenario where all three of those guys are gone, meaning Jenty along with Hunter and Carter, but then I would take Warren.
Not at four, but if you trade down. Sure. Right. So if you trade down to nine, let's say, and then all of a sudden
the Raiders take Jenty at six, I would take Warren at nine. Yeah. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so some of that is a tight end doesn't help as much as a wide receiver, but could I get myself a Brock Bowers, a Sam Laporta, a Trey McBride,
yeah, it's
a pretty player
valuable
like that? Yeah, I would like to do that. So what do you guys think? 617-779-7937. Jeremiah on McAfee yesterday said, okay, Carter and Hunter are gone. I'm taking Jenty at four. I want a guy who can help my young quarterback. He's the best player available who can help the young quarterback. Do you agree with that in a vacuum? Again, you can jump in here on the phones. And then if your answer is, well, the Patriots should move down, and Keith brought that up, I think that's fair. Shedeur Sanders is on the clock. Maybe a team moves up the board. What if they don't? Chad Graff, not the first to write it. He seems to think they're going to have trouble moving down from four and getting what they want. Maybe it's playing the game. Maybe it's posturing. Or maybe everybody looks at this draft and said, it's a bad draft. It's not the year to move up. If the Patriots are boxed in at four, there's no Travis Hunter. There's no Abdul Carter. What do they do? And where does Ashton Jenty, the running back, fit into those plans? 617-779-7937. One of many ways you can interact today on Jones and Keefe. That's your phone and text number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram as well, at Jones and Keefe. We're going to have our first Elite Eight matchup.
Whoa, we are moving.
In the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. Two matchups up there today. The first will go live at 10:30 as we're already on to the Elite Eight. You can check out the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter at Jones and Keefe. You can also watch and chat today, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat there. And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. We'll take all your thoughts on the Pats taking a running back at four. How do you feel about it? And when it comes to wide receiver, they're going to have to find one. Day two, late first round, even at four. How much do you trust the Patriots, their scouting department, on bringing in a wide receiver?
I think he's dynamic. I think he'd be their most dynamic weapon on offense, yeah, and I think they would have a lot of fun watching those two guys, quarterback and receiver, kind of grow up together. I would be excited about that if I were a Patriot fan and somehow Travis Hunter would be there, and I would be interested when they say Travis Hunter, you know, the Patriots select from Colorado, Travis Hunter.
Yeah!
I would be listening, though, to say, is it wide receiver?
Football player.
Is it corner? Is it combo? Like, how are you going to write that on the card? Because the team does get to decide how that's going to be announced.
I would be curious.
That, to me, that would be wide receiver slash corner, not the other way around if you're the Patriots.
That's more from Daniel Jeremiah in the frat house yesterday.
Jeez.
That is the McAfee Show.
They keep a loose clubhouse, though, which I appreciate.
They keep a real loose clubhouse.
Yeah. I would be listening, though, to say...
Can I finish?
If the...
He's like, all right, never mind.
If the Patriots have to actually draft Travis Hunter, we would probably react that way, Keith. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility for us.
We'll probably have glitter guns ready to
go. But if a draft analyst comes on the show and just says
they might draft him,
yeah,
I mean, it's good enthusiasm,
good
energy.
I would be listening, though, to say,
it's like, I'm not done what I'm saying.
Stand by. How do I react when I hit on a race to 10 mid-show?
I would be listening.
Last Friday.
That's what I got to start
what
working
a thrill.
In. That's how I got to start working that in on my college basketball bets.
Gaston Frere going back to his seat.
he was winded after that. That's true.
The farthest I ran since.
All right.
I couldn't make it through a live read. So what he says there, Keith, is, well, yeah, the potential would be great with Travis Hunter as a wide receiver with Drake May. The more I think about the Patriots and them drafting a receiver, because we all know they need one now. How are you getting a receiver? Apparently,
you
it's
could
not,
argue they need two.
It's not Steph Diggs, right?
Right.
It's not Steph Diggs. I don't think they're trading for Ayuk. Like, where are they getting this receiver from? The answer is probably the draft. So I would say this about all receivers in the draft, from Travis Hunter on down, if you feel he's a receiver, how much can you trust this group? And it's not just Elliot Wolf. We went through Vrabel and Cowden and their time in Tennessee and how they did drafting receivers. They did get A.J. Brown. Otherwise, pretty uninspiring group.
But so also, I don't know how much
how
credit,
do we trust these guys?
I don't know how much credit or blame to give Mike Vrabel there. So he was the head coach, but one of the big issues they had there was the roster struggle and John Robinson saying, we're going to trade A.J. Brown, and then we're going to draft Treylon Burks. So I don't know if Mike Vrabel was like,
he might not
have liked Treylon Burks.
He might not have been.
So
I don't know.
But I'm also not giving him credit for A.J. Brown.
Right, okay.
I think it's kind of an unknown with these guys, with Cowden and Vrabel.
Okay, so let's say that.
Draft board.
They're an unknown.
Yeah.
While they were in Tennessee, they weren't great at drafting receivers,
no.
But it is an unknown.
Right.
We know, unfortunately, with Elliott Wolf.
Oh, Wolf, I'm not looking for him to draft anybody good at that position.
So do these guys even know when they get Travis Hunter in camp? Do they even know? They're like, this guy's a wide receiver with Travis Hunter. Do they even know? Should we give them the benefit of the doubt? Like, I would love for them to get Travis Hunter at 4.
Yeah.
I hope he's available at 4. If he's not and Carter's gone, as we discussed earlier, I would go Ashton Jeanty. You would go Will Campbell, the best Haas available.
Yep, BHA.
Do they even know what they're looking at, these guys?
So I don't know, but I feel like is this maybe where Josh McDaniels comes into play a little bit? And not that he has say in the draft pick, but just once you get the guy into camp, once he's seen all the tape, saying, all right, this is what I can do with him. These are the routes that he was running. These are the routes I think he can run. These are the plays. This is how many plays. And you kind of go from there. Because I hope that they're not taking Travis Hunter at 4 and then sticking him on one side of the ball. Just like I don't want Will Campbell at 4 and you're sticking him at guard. I think you need to know if you're going to take a guy that high, hopefully what he can do. Also, if you take Travis Hunter, that doesn't completely cross off your wide receiver need.
No.
Because I'm hoping that he plays both sides. So he's not going to be an every down wide receiver. Plus, there's, I think, questions with any of these rookies to just step in and be your number one receiver. Like, you got to at least go Jacoby Myers, at the very least, and Travis Hunter, and then the rest of the guys you have in a competition. Maybe one emerges, like Pop Douglas emerges where he's at least halfway decent. And then maybe you do a dart throw. If it's just Elliott Wolf 2.0, right, I would say maybe just draft other positions later on. But Cowden and Vrabel, if they in the fourth round want to draft another receiver, I know the room is already very, very young, but because they did no work in free agency, it's out of respect to Mac Hollins,
mm-hmm.
You got to probably take one more guy there, and then that now goes on to the Vrabel-Cowden kind of checklist.
I'll tell you, a lot of the Patriots draft guys, like the two receivers at Iowa State, I see them in the text line, 617-779-7937, Higgins and Noel. A lot of people like the two Iowa State receivers. I happen to like Trey Harris, who we saw in a mock draft yesterday out of Ole Miss. You're talking about like a second-round, mid-round, day-two type of guy.
Ole Miss has had some good receivers.
So, yeah. AJ Brown,
DK Metcalf.
Yeah, nice receiving group there. Who was the guy on the Jets that we got a call about? Not so good.
The Jets Ole Miss guy? Oh, Elijah Moore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not as good.
No.
So,
no.
They can't all be winners.
No, they can't. They also had another guy who I loved who sucked, Laquon Treadwell. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He was nasty, though.
He's still in the league.
Oh, he is.
He might be bouncing around.
But if you want to talk about like a N'Keal Harry type big outside receiver who can't move. I like N'Keal Harry, so what do you know?
Actually, wasn't Treadwell here for like...
Yeah,
might have been.
That sounds right. I think he had a cup of coffee.
I'm like, he's got a chance. This guy just needs the opportunity.
Just feed him. Yeah, just feed him.
Get in the rock.
So real quick, before we get to some of these phone calls on Jeanty and what the Patriots do it for, you just said it, I think. Is there any chance what they have, one of the guys in the room right now takes a step forward, you think it would be out of that group, Pop Douglas?
Probably Pop Douglas. Kayshon Booty, now we're grading on a curve, but Kayshon Booty had his moments last year where you're like, as bad as the offense was, every once in a while he would make a couple plays or two. But I think it could be Pop Douglas. Like, give him a chance. Like, he went from, the Bill O'Brien offense, which was a mess, and then the Alex Van Pelt offense, which never got off the ground, to at least McDaniels now. I think McDaniels will have at least the opportunity to get the most out of him. So I would... Not that you need to rush to your fantasy draft and pick him up, but I think Pop Douglas could be all right.
So I think that would be your best case scenario, right? Like if Pop Douglas takes a step forward, that's the best case scenario. Do we agree that Jalen Polk and Javon Baker, those guys have no chance?
Correct.
No chance. Because I agree with you. I'm just double checking.
We didn't see Baker enough, but that also might just speak to like if you couldn't even get on the field with that group,
Correct. Then
like that's obviously a bad sign. But look, on the NFL field, I've seen enough of Jalen Polk.
I am willing to write both of those two guys off.
Yeah.
My answer would actually be, and again, Pop Douglas would be a better scenario if it happened.
You going Boutte?
Who would I wager on? No, I would wager on Bourne taking a step forward. Bourne with McDaniels in 01, and this is the Rich Keefe rules.
Yeah.
21.
Jones has a
God
real
damn, did
mental
I do that again?
Block.
Yeah. My God, 21.
You need to get like a severance procedure to knock that off.
For a lot of reasons, but specifically for this. I'm sorry, in 2021.
Yeah.
Not out
24
there,
years ago when he was out there
running around with Troy Brown. fighting for catches with Wiggy out there.
David Gibbons.
Sorry, 2021.
Yeah.
800 yards, 5 touchdowns. And that would be a step back from where he's been the last 3 years, which has been 400 yards, 400 yards, 300 yards. There's been injuries in there. The guy I would wager on in the room is Bourne, but I agree that would not be a great scenario. Pop Douglas would be the best out of the room.
Hopefully a little bit more higher ceiling with Douglas. Higher floor maybe, though, with Kendrick Bourne. He was good with McDaniels, but it was a few years ago.
So you can jump in here. 617-779-7937. We're using a couple of clips from Daniel Jeremiah as jumping points today, or jumping off points today. Do the Patriots know what they're looking at wide receiver? Elliott Wolf, Mike Vrabel, Ryan Cowden. You can answer that. And should the Patriots consider a running back, Ashton Gentry at 4,
oof,
if Hunter and Carter are gone?
And no trade.
And they can't move back, which Chad
Graff
wrote at The Athletic today. They're having trouble finding a partner to move back in the draft because it's a bad draft and no one wants to move up. So who are you taking it for in that scenario? 617-779-7937. Let's start it off with our buddy Coach up in New Hampshire.
Hey, what's up, Coach?
Hey, guys. Great show. Under your scenario, Jones, I like your selection in Janty, and also, Rich, I like your selection.
But which do you like better, though?
Of the tackle. Huh? What do I like better?
Yeah.
Probably need the tackle. But I want to just really quickly present a different way to look at Travis Hunter.
All right.
When you draft Travis Hunter, you're kind of getting a 2-for-1. And I don't mean, I want him to play both ways. What I mean is, if you draft him as a receiver and he really doesn't pan out, guess what? Now let's see if he pans out as a corner, and he might. It's like you get 2 opportunities to get a football player, whereas if you just draft a tackle or a receiver, you really only get the 1 shot, bust or good player.
Okay, so I kind of agree. I think Will Campbell, in a way, you get 2 shots, left tackle and left guard.
Well, yeah, but I mean, as far as like if you're a bust at left tackle, I bet you're also a bust at guard.
Probably.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe you could be somewhat serviceable, but I get his point. Like, I'm trying to play him both ways. I am trying to play him both ways right off the rip, but if he really stinks at 1, I guess it cuts the bust potential in half.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, now focus all your attention on this position.
So this is how I phrased it before. I think Travis Hunter is the rare combination of high floor, high ceiling. Because if he hits at both positions, it's a ceiling you may not have seen before in the history of the sport.
Shohei Ohtani.
And if he doesn't hit at 1 spot, I still think he's pretty safe at corner, personally.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think he's the rare combo of high floor, high ceiling. Let's go to Barry in New Bedford. Hello, Barry.
Hey, guys. I think Hunter and Carter both can be gone because I think after Cam Ward, there's a drop-off with the quarterbacks. You've got 21-year-old Jackson Dart. You've got Tyler Shough, the older guy who's going to put on a show today, and he's probably the best arm size talent in this draft. So the Giants and Browns may decide to swap and move back. Now they're stuck at 4. I don't believe they are. It's not so much you can't trade back, Jones. It's what you're asking for. So if they're stuck at 4, you don't take Ashton Gentry, who's the second best back in this draft. Omarion Hampton's the best back in this draft because Gentry's small. If you watch the last 2 years at Boise, he's taken a ton of hits, a lot of carries. There's some wear and tear on that body of his. Are you stuck in 4? You take the Missouri tackle for one reason. He's an actual tackle, whereas Big Shorty really isn't.
Damn.
And at minimum, you have a 34-year-old right tackle who you overpaid for, Moses Nagold, who's probably going to get hurt, and you may have to plug Membu in there. Quickly on receiver.
Oh, hang on. We got enough there. Barry, I know. Barry loves
whole
the draft.
Draft breakdown.
Barry, well,
I love
it. Barry, look, we'll take more of your draft phone calls. Just save it for the next one. There was a lot in there. A lot of nicknames. He makes a fair point about Gentry. I'm not concerned about the frame. Okay, that personally doesn't concern me. If
you know
it does,
how many carries he had last
no,
year?
No, that the workload is a valid concern.
Like, those guys are psychos. That was like, although it, and I guess they ended their careers somewhat earlier, but they burned really hot. The last time I really remember that was two times. Le'Veon Bell at Michigan State, they gave him the ball like 40 times a game.
Yep.
And Ray Rice at Rutgers, it was like just handing him the ball every time. They were both very productive. They were also great for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And then done.
Yeah, look, I don't really.
He had. I'll tell you the answer, by the way. He had 374 carries last year.
So the
that's
like
playing,
I said,
that's playing mostly just the first half.
Like I said, the workload with him is a legitimately valid concern. But
it is 3 years, right? He wasn't a 4-year starter. He played there for 3 years, and really just the last 2 years where he got the ball every play.
But what I would say is, I don't think that's a concern until the second contract. I don't think
it's also why you draft him in the first round. So you get 5 years of this, and then you probably say thanks for your time, and you know, good luck in your next team.
If you got the equivalent of on the field, Ray Rice, and who was the other one you said?
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, if you got that equivalent over the first 5 years of their career, you're happy with Genty.
Yeah.
Even at pick four. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with all your feedback here on Jones and Keefe. You can jump in on the draft, and we'll get you a Celtics update. Jason Tatum is hurt now?
Oh, no.
That's next.
Tatum fires over Sabonis. It's a four-point play opportunity, Jason Tatum is clutching his right ankle. This is not what the Celtics or anybody else wants to see.
So now Jason Tatum is hurt, Keith.
Oh, my God. Come on.
And before fully sky is falling, sounding the panic alarm, which I guess we kind of sort of did there.
Yeah.
He told Ramona Shelburne after the game, it's mostly precautionary. You know, Mazzulla came out after the game and didn't seem to think it was bad, but... but we've seen teams downplay injuries before. Yeah. If you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, Brian just had the video up of Tatum. It didn't look great.
No, I don't love that when your best player is on the ground with his eyes closed, grimacing, grabbing his ankle with two hands. It's not ideal. Now, the one good thing, I guess, from this is it's March 25th. The next time they're going to play a game where they really need him, probably 2.5 months from now. Eastern Conference Finals, I think they need him against the Cavs. I don't even know if they need him. Now, I don't think this is going to be an injury that keeps him out, you know, in the playoffs, but however many regular season games it's now down to, they really don't need to push it. They don't need to play him. There's nothing for it. I know Mazzulla was saying the other day, like, well, we're trying to win every game. They can't really catch the Cavs, I don't think. They can't be caught by the Knicks or whoever else. They're locked in as the 2 seed. Health is clearly the most important thing for this team. So whether it's something that you're just going to manage, like that guys are dealing with, or a new injury like this with Tatum, he does have the benefit of time. Like, you can rest him for a while.
Yeah, they're only 4.5 back at Cleveland with absurdly easy schedule, and they're red hot. They've won 6 in a row. But if Tatum
what's the games down to, though? It's not many left.
10? No.
Yeah, that might be right.
What have they played? They've played, I think it's down to, 11 maybe?
Here comes the math. Here comes the math.
I can't even get yours straight. 2021 versus 2001.
They have
10 games left. Thank you.
Yeah.
So 4.5 is what they're behind Cleveland. Again, what do they have? One kind of, sort of tough game left in Memphis?
Yeah.
But
we've seen them lose weird games.
They're already managing Jalen, who just came back last night.
Porzingis is in a constant state of management.
Porzingis is always managed. Never mind Horford and guys like that.
Yeah.
And now throw Tatum on top of it. Like, they're probably not catching Cleveland, I agree. But they're getting close.
Right.
And it doesn't mean they shouldn't try to catch him. I will say a couple of points in the Twitch chat. Number one, is this ankle injury worse than the one against Miami? Well, clearly the one against Miami in the playoffs, where he played through it, and he looked like Luka in the Celtics-Lakers game. Every time he got the ball, the ankle looked fine, but when he was on defense, he was like hobbling around.
It hurt him.
So that one, I don't even think was bad.
It was a cranky ankle.
People use that as an excuse why the Celtics didn't come back from 3-0 down. The other one, the Twitch comment, it scrolled by, but people were comparing it to Max screaming coming off the field.
No, I think it was a little different than that.
I mean,
I don't think it was quite that degree.
The thing with Tatum...
He didn't get carried by two guys,
did he? The thing with Tatum, though, and look, he's writhing around pretty good. You never know... with him,
it's tough
if he's just hamming it up, or and they're just out of the game because it's a precaution, or is there really something going on? Like, he tends to take his time getting up off the floor when he's down on these plays.
Thanks a lot, LeBron. Once again, ruining the league. He's made it. He has normalized milking injuries
because Tatum is milking an injury. You're going to blame LeBron for that.
You heard me.
He created it.
He's ruined the league. LeBron's ruined the league. No, Mac Jones being carried down the stairs screaming in the way that he was screaming is worse than anything Tatum has ever done. Not close.
Oh, man,
at least it was like Cooper Flagg where he had to be carried off the floor, and then he came back a game later.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, my guy Paul Pierce got wheelchair.
I was literally just going to say.
Basketball injuries like this are usually.
I can never insult anybody because I'll defend Pierce on that till the day I die.
Paul Pierce entered the league before LeBron.
Yeah, but it really
LeBron ruined the league.
LeBron normalized it in 2003-04 when he came into the league. So then by the time that Pierce was in the finals in 2008, look, it had already taken over.
I think we all agree. You can't really blame Paul Pierce for getting wheelchaired off. He pooped his pants.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so like,
you want to walk?
You don't want a Jimmy Butler picture going around.
And no one wants to carry you.
God, no.
So you got to get wheeled off.
I think it was too late. You couldn't Lamar Jackson it and hobble through to the back.
No. It was over. It's much too late for that.
He's all right.
So Tatum and his injury, how concerned are you? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, Russ is in Connecticut on our Patriots conversation. What's up, Russ?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. My concern is the O-line left side. And I have a thought for a receiver, 6'6", 260, Tyler Warren out of Penn State.
Yeah, he's a tight end. We've talked about him, yeah.
153 catches, 19 touchdowns, a safety valve on the left side of the field. You got Henry on the right side.
Oh, two tight ends.
I'm with you.
Yep.
Nice. Thank you.
I'm okay. And then the other thing.
You're actually with me. I'm the Tyler Warren guy, but okay.
No, yeah. No, he's with me.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would like Keith.
Yep.
To get us, a tackle on that side. They're looking at this young man from BC yesterday.
Oh, Ozzie Trapello. We're going to let you go on that one.
Duck votes. We're in lockstep.
Yeah.
I brought up a lot of good points.
Ozzie Trapello is supposedly another right tackle. We've heard a lot, like Jacob, former intern.
Right tackles are growing on trees, for God's sakes.
Former intern Jacob. He's blabbing our ears off about, well, first of all, Curly in Boston t-shirts, but also about Ozzie Trapello.
I'm not going to wear a Curly in Boston t-shirt.
Apparently, Tony Marinaro
wants to send us t-shirts.
He wants to send us Curly in Boston t-shirts, which I'm not quite sure how to handle that.
Well, you don't. You just let them sit in the mailroom upstairs.
Jacob texted me asking for sizes. I haven't answered yet.
I don't have a size.
We don't wear them.
I'm without size.
We don't wear them like the Revs jerseys? Wait, there was an update? He texted about sizes?
Yeah, like an hour ago. I stopped texting back.
Your best guess, Tony, and just put them in the mail, and then we're not going to wear them.
What are our sizes in Canadian?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a tremendous question.
Canadian size?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they could be like a giveaway. Maybe we give them away, and then people can remember the time that he came in and Canadian punked us.
I got an idea.
Go ahead.
What if we burn them like people burn their LeBron jerseys?
Smart.
Now we're talking.
Which they should do.
Now we're
ruin the league.
You want to talk about starting an international war?
That's true.
Burning Curly in Boston t-shirts?
Next time the U.S. beats them in like World Juniors, then we just light them up. Light them up in anticipation for the big game.
I'm in. But besides the t-shirts, former intern Jacob, is also a big Ozzie Trapello guy. He's a right tackle.
All they got is right tackles.
There's only right tackles in this draft, apparently. So, that could be a guy they draft in, like, round three. And Dante Scarnecchia work with him, and great. Mike Vrabel and Bill O'Brien are best buddies, so they're probably going to draft a BC kid. Well, that's a day three guy who's a right tackle.
Did anybody play left tackle last year? Was there no left tackles in college football?
Apparently not.
Unreal.
Apparently not.
Well, they did. They just played guard now.
Yeah, they've all moved them to guard.
The two left tackles are guards.
Terrible.
Banks and Campbell.
And the other guys are right tackles.
The other guys are all right tackles. Although Simmons was a left tackle at Ohio State. He just was hurt.
Okay.
So there's no healthy left tackle. Let me put it to you like that. There's no healthy left tackles.
He got bullied by Mike Green at the
Super Bowl. I can't unsee that.
No, that's hard to watch.
He's off my board.
Yeah.
I don't really know what you do. You draft Genty at four. That's what you do.
Punt?
617-779-7937. You can jump in all day long here on Jones and Keefe. Our first Elite Eight matchup is available at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. You can see the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter. We'll get to that. Let's also get you some updates on the Red Sox, who some of their youngins had a nice day yesterday.
All right.
In Mexico. What if the Sox pitching staff underachieves? We'll get to that next.